הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the show Judge Eve, and the song in Hebrew says come on let's be happy. I'm very, very blessed and honored to have Pastor Mark Hahnemann on the show with us today. He's a demonologist about which people need to know. He's a Christian. He was 7th of 10 children. God bless his parents. And he was raised in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he also was a pastor of Christ the King, AR, I don't know what that means, Presbyterian Church. Co-founder of Caldwell Classical Christian School, and was on the advisory board for the International Civil Rights Museum in Woolworth, where the International Sit-In Movement began. But the most important thing for him for today is his book called Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, and we'll have him say how you can get it, but his website. But the most important thing is for everybody to know that just because they seek spirituality, it doesn't mean that it comes from the right place. Pastor Mark, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Judge E. This is always, always an honor and a joy to be with you. I appreciate thank you for having me on again.
Thank you. You know, I'm lit to pray. I'll pray what I pray, and then if you lit to pray, please add on anything else that you wish, okay?
Sure.
Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. We invite your presence, Holy Spirit, and let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Pastor Mark, I don't know if you have, do you have anything to add by way of a prayer first?
No, that's fine. Thank you very much, sir.
What I would like you to do is just tell people a little bit how you came to be a demonologist, why you think it's important. I'll be asking you questions as you go along, and really to describe what's going on in our society, which is very much like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it really, really saddens me. But go ahead, please. Please tell us.
Yeah, my first real explicit supernatural experience was about 13 years ago. I was just walking late at night, meditating, praying, and I saw before me on the path about 20 feet in front of me what has become to be known in paranormal circles as a shadow person or a shadow figure. It's just a solid black figure that's neither a person nor black as far as race.
You didn't see it in the three-dimensional. Was the spirit being, do you think, that you're describing?
It's just simply a form of demon. It's probably the most common manifestation that they take, Eve, which is really quite appropriate if you think about it, because if you think of darkness versus light,
yeah.
You know, they move very furtively, these shadow figures,
yeah.
And so it's very appropriate that the demonic will take this kind of form. But I was, I'd say it was 2007 that I became alerted to two things. Number one was the prevalence, the sheer huge numbers of people in America that were being drawn to embrace the notion of trapped spirits or ghosts because it helped supposedly to explain some of their spiritual questions. And then the second issue that I dealt with in the book, but just I'm very concerned about, and that is just the issues that raises, which are huge. If people do believe in ghosts, that raises immense ramifications.
You know, what I'd like to do, first of all, let me repeat the name of your book, Seeing Ghosts through God's eyes and tell the people, please, where they can get it. And then I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Probably the best place to get it, I would recommend, would be just simply Amazon, because that's where you can get it the cheapest. Amazon, and you can get it in two forms, either the Kindle version or in softback, seeing goes through God's eyes. So that would just be through Amazon, and I have an author page, Mark Hunneman, but it'd be seeing goes through God's eyes. And strangely, it remains the only book which comprehensively analyzes the notion of ghosts from a biblical worldview perspective. So
which
the devil
is
really clamped on that.
Of course, of course. You know, from my, I'm a minister and a prophet. I'm a seer. You know, I've ministered all over the country for about 20 years, and people would come up in line, and God would just open them up like an open book. And the time that I've had to deal with demonic beings, I did not see them like you see them. I would actually see the actual form. For example, and I think I told the story before, a lady who had lupus, and immediately she asked me to pray for her, and immediately I saw a wolf stuck to her back with its claws stuck into her shoulders, you know, left claw on the left shoulder, right claw on the right shoulder. And I immediately, prayerfully, I removed each claw one by one by one by one. And the next day she called me up. She said the doctor said she was free of lupus. And then either she or someone else told me lupus in Latin means wolf. Did you know that?
No, I did not. But,
I didn't either. So to me, you know, so many of our illnesses are probably demon-caused. You know, I mean, there are many, many other reasons. But what you say, I think, is very important. You said people are attracted to that realm. Is it because they feel somehow there is more than what we see, there's more than what we touch or smell, and there's something in a higher level of existence?
Yeah, Francis Schaeffer is my favorite author. And he, back in the 70s and 80s, he was warning the Christian culture to beware of the fact that our culture was becoming more and more irrational. That
really?
Is, yeah, he was saying that people, we were losing interest in content, and we're being drawn to the idea more of an immediate spiritual experience.
Like fast food, right?
Exactly. And what happened is, because for a number of reasons, as you know, classical Christianity has fallen. I mean, in some senses, it's growing, but in a lot of people's eyes, they've given up on, quote, the hidden God of Christianity, but they're still made in God's image. And so they have a visceral desire for spiritual reality. So guess what happens when they're watching one of these dozens of TV shows that show real supernatural experiences? I mean, it just blows them away.
Right, and you notice they have more and more and more of those. You know, I don't even want to mention, but you know, some of the witches, you know, who perform ceremonies, and what they don't understand is they really call forth demonic beings. And they don't understand it either, that Satan comes as an angel of light, and people think, oh, isn't that wonderful, right? And then they accept them into their lives, and then they really have problems. You know,
that's one of the issues that I have. When I ask ghost hunters or investigators, most of them recognize what they would make a distinction between an earthbound spirit or a human soul that gets trapped here and a demon. If they've been, they would say there are demons, but they're supposedly rare. Now, of course, the Bible teaches that every spiritual entity that they come in contact with, unless it's an angel, is demonic. There's no such thing as a trapped spirit. But the point is, because of what you said, that is the angel of light principle in 2 Corinthians, there's no criteria that they can use for determining what a, quote, demon would look like, because he can mimic and morph anything he wants to.
Exactly.
So that means that any criteria they put together, like smelling like sulfur or looking like a monster or making the room hotter, all that stuff does not have to be present for a demon to be doing its thing. It can look like, you know, the most beautiful demon, you know?
Yes.
And then, like a little child.
How do you how should I say, how do we train people, or how do you encourage them to know what to look for so they know whether or not they're facing a demon or maybe, to me, angelic beings are very, very validly, you know, pure and godly. But how would anybody know the difference between either them meeting an angel or a demon?
Well, that's a great question. You do have a dilemma there in the fact that you have to face the fact that there is the angel of light principle, that Satan and by extension his demons can make themselves look, smell, and feel. That's an important part of it. Feel,
yeah.
To be like peaceful and holy entities. Now, the gift of discernment has been given to the body of Christ for a reason.
Yes.
And not everybody, I mean, I have found this from my own experience, Eve, is that not everybody can feel the vibes of the demon in the room, even if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not gifted for that.
What do you
I mean, that's my own experience.
What do you think causes them not to feel it? And I'll say something.
Well, because I think that people who have a gift of discernment assume that everybody else does, but they don't. And, I mean, that's why Paul warned us against, I mean, if there wasn't a danger of us being overrun or being overcome by this angel of light phenomenon, he wouldn't have warned us.
That's true.
So it takes the body of Christ working with, you know, every person's gifts in place. I can tell you this: I work with demons and people with demons all the time.
Yes.
I wish I had the gift of discernment. I don't.
So but, how do
and
you
I cast
know,
all the time.
How do you know when to pray it away off of people? What gets you to know?
I can't walk into a room, Eve, like a lot of people, and sense that there's evil there. I just can't. And I hope this upsets you, because I know that you can. You can sense it a mile away.
Well,
God has given me certain gifts, like writing. You asked earlier how we can help people, and so what I do is educate. I've asked God to help me to be more sensitive and expose every spiritual nerve in my body to the supernatural. But he has sovereignly seen to it that when people ask me for help, I believe them. If they say they're being spiritually oppressed, I don't say, well, we need to get an investigation going to see if there's paranormal activity. Jesus didn't do that, and I'm not going to do that.
I like you sent
dozens
me a block.
Dozens and dozens of cleansings, Eve, and I've never done an investigation before it. And by God's grace, we've all been successful. And I have seen, you know, many times the God giving me evidence of supernatural evidence of the demonic leaving.
Let me say this, two things. First of all, how God tells us in the body, you know, we each are given different functions in the body, and that's why the eye cannot say to the foot, hey, I don't need you, or the ear to the hand, I don't need you. So, oh, no, don't apologize to me. You know, we each have a function, and the function really works better when we all work together, not just each one, you know, setting up their own little kingdom. That's the one thing. The second thing is, God has shown me, I'd say about 18 years ago now, how Satan was going to, we had to have subtle discernment, because that's what he said to me. In fact, it was 1988. I was helping get people's names to Pat Robertson. You know, he needed 3 million names to run for president. I lived in California. One of the people I called was a church in Florida, and the person who answered the phone said, oh, our pastor has been teaching us that Satan is engaging in subtle deception. I said, thank you, because he's told me that we have to have subtle discernment, you know, like giving two parts of the same coin to different parts of the body, you know? What I was going to do with you today, and to surprise you, let me say this. My mother was an extremely sensitive person, as was my grandmother. My mother would tell me after my parents were killed in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister, and with the help of doctors and medication, you know, the name is Sternlight. And she would tell me, you know, how she kept seeing my dad. You know, one time he came dressed in a suit. He'd say, come on, let's go dancing. So I said, Mommy, you tell him to come back here. You go dancing. And she knew nothing about angels. And before he died, even though his mind was gone, and this is the dad who had taken a gun to me, he was going to shoot me in front of my mother if I didn't give up Jesus. But she saw him with a white robe and a golden belt. And I thought that was amazing, because that's the way I would picture angels. She told me her mother used to see her loved ones who had passed on. I have not seen any of that. Do you think I need deliverance? Is there anything in my bloodline that I should be prayed for? And maybe all the hurts that I've gone through, you know, the persecution I've suffered, the theft of all my property, the being injected with poisons, and recently losing my litigation on very, very unjust reasons. And if you do, maybe we'll have a break and then come back, and would you like to do a deliverance on me?
Oh, wow. You're asking me, to the most godly woman that I know, for me to pray? Wow.
Yes.
My guiding principle now this does not sound very spiritual, but it's better safe than sorry. The point being that any of those things that you mentioned, which are all tragic and traumatic, even for a Christian, could leave some kind of scarring, which in some way could leave some kind of a doorway. So if it would, so the point is, I think with you, it's remote just simply because you walk so closely with the Lord. You know, there's an old saying that the best defense is on offense.
Yeah.
And your offense, that is the tenderness that you love the Lord with all of your being, is going to close all of these different
passageways
for Christ, because of your love for the Lord, that with expulsive power that comes from walking in the Spirit, that's going to just, as a matter of fact, keep the demonic from creeping in through wounds. But if you would like prayer, just for, you know, if it would bring a measure of satisfaction to you for whatever reason, I would love to.
Because what I wanted to do, I also wanted, again, to give people the phone numbers where they can call in for prayer and or later contact you if they would like. But the first phone number to call in would be 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And the other number, there's several, but just to give you two so you don't get confused, is 1-530-327-7602. That's 530-327-7602. And another reason why I'm inviting people to call in is because often, you know, people are depressed or sick. I know my body has suffered illness because of these attacks. So if you need prayer, this is the time to call in, and this is what I really would like this show to be about. I have seen and witnessed miracles and have been part of it, and I expect these kind of miracles to start existing in this show. So if I may, Mark, let me just go ahead and call us to break, and when we come back, if you feel led and to pray for me, I would appreciate it very much.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's holocaust.com. The Story of My Parents' Murder in Beverly Hills by My Brother and Sister, and The Theft of Their Millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of a Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello, everybody. We're back with you. And again, I'm so blessed to have Pastor Mark Hanneman with us. He's a demonologist. He's the author of a very important book called Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, because there's so much misinformation in the world today. We have all these television shows and movies bombarding us with all the occult, and people think that's spiritual. That's not the kind of spiritual that we like. But also, before we went on break, I had asked Pastor Mark if he would pray for me, which is what I would love for you people to do. And you know, Pastor Mark, also maybe to pray for the people that they will have increased discernment. So when they're faced with spiritual things, they know whether it's godly or demonic.
I certainly will. You know, with the coming of this movie in August, Paranorman, this whole movement has hit a nadir for low point. It directly pinpoints our kids.
I've not heard of it till you had mentioned it, you know, in the email. Yep. And I'd like you, when you finish praying, talk about the spiritism thing as well.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to say that because that truly is a low point thus far in this whole satanic deception that is taking our globe by storm. But let's as you asked, Eva, I would very much love to have that privilege of praying for you and for anything else that the Lord puts on my heart. So let's pray, shall we?
Yes, please. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the blood of Christ we can come boldly before your throne. And as it says that in your word, that like with Zechariah, that our filthy clothes have been taken off and that the perfection of Jesus has been transferred to our spiritual bank account. That is, you see us as perfect in Christ because of our union with him. I thank you for Eve. I thank you for her friendship and for her love for you. But she has experienced all manner of attacks by her countrymen, her family, by supposed friends, and just by outright enemies, both human and non-human. Lord, any of these that have possibly opened wounds, I know that some of them have hurt, but I pray that any of them that may have opened to any extent any foothold to the demonic, Eve and I both now agree in the spirit that you would close any doors that have been opened to her because of the savage way she has been treated in the past, that you would close any doors and that you would seal them permanently with the blood of the Lamb, and that you would cleanse these wounds with the blood of Jesus, and that she would be brand new as she is a new creature in Christ. But may these may these wounds be forever closed and, again, healed by, and heal her from the inside out by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Pastor
Lord, she's a precious woman, and I can heal her pain. And I know that she's been through horror with the Holocaust in her past and her family and her people.
Yes.
And she's experienced her own personal horror, and she stands passionately for you, and she experiences day in and day out attacks. So once again, I pray that you might heal her from the inside out, and she might experience, as your word says, that you come to it's for freedom that you have set us free. So, woman who's been used as you to heal so many people, I pray that you would heal her, and we pray this in Christ's name. And now, for anyone else who is listening, who has anything on their heart right now, any emotional, physical, or spiritual problem that is weighing them down, or demonic oppression, or even possession that is causing you problems, possibly horrific problems. Yeah, any of the women who may be even listening, you may even be experiencing problems with physical attacks by the demonic.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, we ask that you would rain down now your precious Holy Spirit upon every person who is now listening to this broadcast. And I pray that in the history of this radio show and history of humanity, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit in its fullness as you have ever done, and that people who are listening would see, feel, and hear the reality of the supernatural God, and that you are real, and that you would help them to discern the difference between a holy God and an unholy spirit.
Yes,
Lord, we pray all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, as you were praying, let me, excuse me, first give the numbers where people can call if they want to have prayer now. It's either 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 or 1-530-327-7602 or 530, rather, with a 1 in the front. 327-7602. Maybe I shouldn't have asked you to pray for me. I'm so out in the spirit. But I thank you, Mark, so much. You know, as you were praying, you know, the prophets in the Bible lived things ahead of time. Remember, I think it, who was it, Hezekiah, who had to walk naked in the street, or Jeremiah, to show the nakedness of Israel. So I said, okay, God, but that I'm not doing. You know? Exactly. But, you know, I do know that I do live things ahead of time. You know, whatever the people will go through later, I have already lived. And as you were praying, I realized, which I had not realized before, you know, as you said, for the Holocaust of my people, I saw he let me live a Holocaust right here, because the Holocaust is coming to America. So in other words, whatever happens to me personally is a forerunner of what's going to happen to everybody else, you know? He has shown
I think
me
there's a form of it that's happening right now, because I really believe that the biggest deception ever in the history of humanity is happening right now.
And what is
right
that?
Now.
And what do you see?
What I see is this notion of ghosts, which sounds so ludicrous when you even mention it, and that's part of the genius of Satan, is that you even say the word G-H-O-S-T-S, a lot of people just begin and think, it's ludicrous. So ludicrous that people are becoming oppressed and possessed in record numbers right now.
Right.
It's so ludicrous that every other week there's a new TV show, as you alluded to. There's one now that's directed specifically to college students called School Spirit. Just started about 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
now we have
God.
One that's Paranorman, that's specifically PG for kids.
Oh,
and it's about
no.
a child. Yeah, it's about a child who has who is, you know, apparently kind of a, quote, nerd, but he has the wonderful gift of being able to speak to the dead. So he ends up being the hero by saving this town from a witch's curse. This is a nadir, or low point, in his attack. I mean, between one-third and one-half of Americans now believe ocean of trapped spirits. And I don't know of any, you help me out here, I don't know of any other aberrant belief that comes close to that number of people who believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, but even the cult, Mormonism, there's nothing, and the point is, there's no belief other than, like, belief in ghosts that so quickly puts one in contact with the demonic, because all you have to do is believe in the concept of trapped spirits and then think and start thinking in your mind, okay, I'd like to contact Uncle Ted, who just died about a month ago, and then say it once.
Wow.
Are there any spirits in this room?
Wow.
Something like that. I mean, that's what they see on TV. All they have to do is sit in their living room and just say once, are there any spirits in this room? And that opens doors right there. That's it. You know, their lives are changed forever. And
that's why we have to be. That's why we have to be so cautious as to what we listen to, what comes out of our mouth, and what we give our mind to, right? And
what comes out of our mouth is incredibly important. Well, all of what you said, but specifically, when we say, are there any spirits in this room, you might as well have a Ouija board right there, because you're doing essentially the exact same thing.
Oh, my God.
There's no difference in those words and playing the Ouija board game.
And, you know, even New Agers admit that you don't want to use the Ouija board because it's a way of calling forth demons. So they're even careful. And isn't that true? What people must realize, that if you make any contact with those kind of spirits, they'll try to give you what you want, maybe once, maybe twice, but then they're here to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what they will do to each and every individual, right? Mentally, physically, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I can tell you the number of people who have told me that 10 years ago they had a little child spirit speak to them, or appear, and then 3 years later their family is about to explode, they're about to divorce, and they're seeing shadow figures, and they're all under demonic oppression. It all starts with what their weakest point is. And so many moms or dads, it's a little kid. So that's why we have so many little children apparitions, or older people. You know, the ubiquitous, you know, older woman in a white dress. Well, people are respectful of older women in white, you know, and it's a whole, you know, angel of light principle that you alluded to at the outset of the show. And tens of millions of Americans, Christians and non-Christians, are falling prey to this because it promises to them immediate spiritual satisfaction and experience.
The fast food phenomenon, right? Give me right now. And everything is, you know, I listen to certain shows, you know, certain pastors that I really like, you know, Jack Van Impe, and I like even Dr. Fleury. He has the Keys of David. And it's so funny, two or three of them this past week talked about how we are in the final days, because all we're seeing is people are lovers of self. They'd rather go after pleasure than God. And totally getting away from what our morality is. And then,
well, you know what, Eve? I agree. I do think that we are in what very well may be the last days, because of the fact that UFO sightings are incredibly increased in the last 20 years, and as has this belief in spiritism in the last 20 years. We're talking about direct contact from the demonic with human beings in both incidences, and people are being deceived by both. They're both traceable to the demonic. But I would ask this, Eve, what is sad is that these same pastors, now I don't know about the two gentlemen that you mentioned, but of the few pastors that are talking about the demonic, the thing that I sent to you, the sad reality, Even the pastors who believe that we're in the last days do not preach messages on the Bible and ghosts. They're not educating and equipping their people to be able to discern between, you know, supernatural evil.
Do you think
even
it's
if it's,
Satan,
you know, comes in their living room?
Do you think it's Satan blinding their minds and their hearts, you know, which is what he does, you know, like 2 Corinthians 4:4, so that the light of the gospel, not only for salvation, but in any form, can penetrate their minds and hearts? So they're blinded, right?
I do. But I also think that it's just continuing a habit that has started that Francis Schaeffer complained about in his book, The Great Evangelical Disaster, which he wrote in 1984. He died in 85. And this was right before your great revelation from the Lord.
In 1989,
Yeah, and he was talking about how people are going to be drawn more and more to the irrational. And by that, again, he meant immediate spiritual experience.
Yes.
And putting the mind aside as far as being discerning. And that's what we're seeing is that very thing.
How would you, or what would you tell people, especially Christians and even non-Christians, what thought process they should follow not to be deceived by the demonic? And what can't, because, you know, I always say, you know, what God can do is much greater than any demon or any witch or any sorcerer, which was shown, you know, in the Pharaoh's court. Remember the 10 plagues? Excuse me, everything Moses, you know, God did for Moses, the warlocks, the witches in Pharaoh's court did the same thing until the end. You know, they could not compare the killing of the firstborn, you know, which God has done.
What you're saying, though, is real, is that those first several, they could mimic, and it was real supernatural activity. And the bizarre thing is, the crazy thing is, the thing that made me fall out of my chair when I first saw it in 2007 is that what people by the millions are seeing on TV is real supernatural demonic activity. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. Some of it's staged and choreographed, I would admit that. But a lot of it is real demonic activity. When you see a shadow figure, I know what a shadow figure looks like, and they show them on there, but I would just tell people that, again, that not everything that glitters is gold in the paranormal realm. And according to the Bible, that's a forbidden zone. You know, Eve, according to Revelation 12:9, that is the realm that God has sovereignly given to the demonic to dwell in. Once they fell, they had to live somewhere. I mean, they had to. So God sovereignly decreed that the spirit realm on earth was their, quote, home until the coming and judgment. So when the investigators start going into, they're going into the demonic realm.
Intentionally.
I mean, intentionally. It's no wonder most of these investigators are developing demonic attachments.
Exactly. You know what really bothered me last night? I wanted to see the Olympic opening show, and I got sick to my stomach. Did you see the darkness? Did you see that Kay Rawlings, who talked about that Harry Potter book? Everything was so dark and ugly, and then they show all these children having demons come at them, and, you know, I couldn't watch anymore. Yeah. And I thought, it was horrible. You know, I think did you see it or did you not?
No, I did not. I'm sorry. I was watching. I try to watch all the paranormal shows I can just to keep in touch with what's happening.
Exactly. And we do have to go to a break, but let me say there were a billion, with a B, people watching this. And, you know, like the movies lately, you know, in the last few years are very, very dark. Have you noticed that? You compare a movie from about 5 years ago and compare it for 15, 20 years ago when there was light and happiness and joy, and everything is bad, 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 black, black, black. And we have to wrest it out of the hands of the enemy. Pardon me?
And it's all ghost, 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 and vampire, vampire, vampire type stuff, too.
Exactly. We'll go to break, and when we come back, Pastor Mark, I would like you to cover what you think is important for people to know. Like you said, the spiritism, you know, what they can do to avoid being taken into it. And let me give the phone numbers again, 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. or 530-327-7602. That's 530-327-7602. And then we'll talk about Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes by Pastor Mark Hunneman. Please bear with us.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge, and I'm glad to be on BBSRadio.com Station 1 on alternate Saturday, and my website, where you can also get my book, Diary of a Sabra Faith in Action, is an e-book. The website is www.90210holocaust.com. And I also will do counseling, whether spiritually or general legal questions such as unemployment, divorce, other questions with which so many people are faced today. And the way to contact me for that would be at my email, which is eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you, and rather from you, and to be able to be of help. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. And again, we're on the Judge Eve Show, and I'm so blessed to have Pastor Mark Hunneman with me today. He truly is a demonologist, somebody who sees the demons and gets rid of them because they really afflict so many people. And again, his book, Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, which can be obtained at Amazon and or on his website, Mark Hunneman. Maybe I should spell it, H-U-N-N-E-M-A-N. I think it's .com, Pastor?
Yes, that's true. Actually, there's two N's at the end of my name.
Yes. Oh, two ends. You know, oh, I see they only put one end on the ad here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, when you have two ends at the end, it's a German name. Did you know that, or is it a Dutch name?
Exactly. German, all right.
I asked you a couple of questions during the break. You know, people need to know. Like I told you, I see sometimes figures from the corner of my eye. What you said about that, tell us how you got to be helpful to people who call you and say, please help me. And what people should look for to avoid being taken in by demonic spirits.
Well, first thing that comes to my mind is that any paranormal activity is too much paranormal activity. I'm afraid that
Define paranormal, then.
Okay, well, let's say that you are thinking that you're seeing something in your peripheral vision, like maybe a shadow that's darting around. Fairly often, or maybe just occasionally. That's their MO. Shadow figures do face, head on, but most of the time they like to make you wonder if you're going crazy, but they usually will try to stay in the peripheral vision. So,
really?
The first thing I would say, I mean, that's just, they're extremely smart, so they'll keep you guessing.
Yes.
So if you think you're seeing something through in your peripheral vision, then play it safe and say, the Lord Jesus rebuke you, Satan. That's what I would say, or in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan, because if there is a presence, again, it's better safe than sorry. That may not be found in the Bible, but
I was going to say, and also use the blood of Jesus. I've seen it very effective. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I rebuke you and with the blood of Jesus. Exactly. I mean, thank you very much. How could I forget that? That is the key, is the blood of Jesus. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing, but they can manifest in any form, but they can also just, speak, you can hear voices or footsteps or something like that. But the point I want to make to everybody is, again, any paranormal activity is too much activity. And by paranormal activity, it's just a synonym for supernatural activity. And what I mean by that is if you hear footsteps in your house, you know you're home. Okay, yes. And nobody needs to come in and investigate it and tell you whether or not what you're hearing is real or not. You know your home, and you know whether or not it's being infested with something that shouldn't be there or not.
So what
if you're hearing
saying,
footsteps,
what you're saying, you're isn't it? I'm sorry. What you're saying then is you shouldn't even allow these investigators to, allegedly, to come into your house and check for spirits.
No, because you know what they're going to do is that 95% of them are going to do EVP sessions. And when they do that, they start soliciting for EVPs, which means they're going to say things like, if there are any spirits present here, tell us your name. They might as well pull out an Ouija board and have either that or a seance there right in your living room.
Because
I've written continually over and over again about how EVPs, which is supposedly a very scientific phenomenon, is not. It is simply the same thing as a Ouija board because
wow.
You're asking the same question. What do you say in a Ouija board on the first thing? If there's a spirit present, please show yourself. What does it say in an investigation? If there's a spirit here, please speak into this digital recorder. It's the same thing.
It's inviting the ghost to come in, right?
Something good. Intention don't mean anything. I know that most of these people are, intentions are good. My belief is that any investigation of the supernatural is sinful because of 18. If we're forbidden to speak to the alleged dead because they're demonic, then why investigate a realm that has been sovereignly given by God to the demonic?
So what you're saying, nobody should even try any time to access that realm?
Absolutely not. You remember when Adam was showing his derived authority, Eve, in the Garden of Eden by naming all of reality? You know, he was named.
The animals and
and that showed his authority. But do you notice that all of that it was done within the natural, visible realm? He was never allowed to label, categorize, or taxonomize anything in the supernatural realm. We ask why? Because in chapter 3, verse 1, we hear, and the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. The point being is right there already when Adam was doing his scientific endeavors, it was all limited to the natural visible realm because the fall of the angel had already taken place, and it was dangerous. So that he and Solomon, you know, Eve, he was also a scientist as well.
Yes.
And neither one of them would touch the supernatural realm with a 10-foot pole. Neither of them.
I agree. Let me ask you this, though, because I do see in the spirit. How do I know what I, although I always cleanse it and test it, you know, with the name and with the blood of Jesus. In other words, there is a level of supernatural, you know, the prophets did operate in supernatural, you know, because there
was
So how do you distinguish that from accessing a demonic realm?
Well, you have the prophets who are called by God, and one of the distinguishing marks of a prophet is that they were allowed into the council of the heavenly council, in other words, the supernatural realm.
You're going to make me cry because I have to tell you something. You know, one of the times I always, when I would minister, would be, God, what do you want me to talk about? And it was, they called it an advance, was a retreat, you know, for Christian women. And he had me talk about there is no shadow of turning in him. You know, in other words, he's the light within us. It's our problems between the inside and the outside that are the problem. And I was taken up so high in the spirit. In fact, I had a friend, I told her, if you see me react like that, turn on Israeli music. So I'd come back. I was leaving the earth. And, and I was standing on steps on a chair. You know, I keep referring it to the Lincoln chair, you know, in Washington, you know, the marble straight back chair, you know, with the Lincoln statue. And one time it was Jesus sitting there because he had, you know, skull cap on his head. And he touched me after I spoke, and he said, "Well done, my daughter." And so many times I've been in the presence of God. And again, he's seated in that very high back, you know, marble-like chair. He's enveloped with this white, and they seem to me like linen type, you know, the thicker than what we're used to seeing. And mm-hmm. he has this long white beard. And I'm either seated at his feet, and then he takes me up in his lap. Oh, I just talk to him that way, you know? Is that part of the counsel that you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm kind of speechless. Yeah. I mean, you have the incredible gift that God has given you of being brought into his presence, which I...
And you want to hear something? A friend later showed, when I sat down, they felt heat going all the way through. They were like bridge chairs, you know, the metal bridge chairs. Three people down felt the heat. A friend showed me a picture. She took, my face was so red, and I said, "What's the matter with the film?" She said, "No, that was you." Because I was thinking, where is the glory, right? If you're with God, there should be. I realized when you're in the glory, you don't see the glory. Isn't that something? So anyway.
Yeah.
You brought it to my remembrance, so people need to know that. When you say the counsel of God, are you talking about the elders who are seated by the throne of God, or do you know anything about it?
Oh, yeah, well, I can, in Revelation 24, but we were making the distinction between, you know, true prophetic, supernatural, you know, experience.
Yes.
And that, but also, as opposed to... entering into the forbidden zone, the demonic. I mean, but Christians, we're called to sit in the seat of the supernatural every second of the day. So I don't want to be misunderstood. A very important part of a Christian is moment by moment realizing that we do live in a... that the full circumference of reality is not limited to what we can see. It's the supernatural realm as well, and that that's where, you know, spiritual warfare, and that God wants us to be cognizant of that and be praying, you know, within, you know, those parameters. So it's just what I'm talking about is the intentional... entering into and of the supernatural realm by asking and speaking to demonic entities. That obviously, just common sense should be apparent to us.
And I think that's where people get confused. You know, they think that anything spiritual is God and is good. And what
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I think you hit the nail on the head with that comment. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what they have to be. Go ahead, please.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of my book, is trying to learn how to think with a biblical worldview. Don't have enough time to talk about what that means, but it simply means, you know, seeing the world as God sees it. And if you read God's Word, then you will learn to understand that, as Judge E just said, there is God, there are angels, and there are demons. And and there is us. So there is supernatural reality, and not all supernatural reality is good.
And what I like to say to people, once you know Jesus' supernatural reality, you never want to go back to the other one. There's no comparison, right?
No, I mean, I know a lot of people who were into the occult and stuff like that, and God, by his grace, delivered them, and the Holy Spirit is infinitely more powerful than even Satan, and so we have...
Amen, amen. I'm looking at the time. I thank you so much, Pastor Mark Hinneman.
You're welcome. You.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
I just want to thank you for the privilege of being with you again.
Oh.
You're a very uncommonly godly, kind woman, and I thank you for...
By the grace of God, you know. But I wanted people to hear again what your book is, because I think it's essential that every Christian get it and non-Christians get it, so they see what to avoid. And it's, again, it's called Seeing Ghosts. That's S-E-E-I-N-G, Ghosts, GHOSDS through THROUGH gods, GODS Ives, IEYES, and .com. And let me say too, you know how God tells us, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He's so far above everything that we know and think. I always ask him to show me his ways and his vision. Thank you again. God bless you, Pastor Mark Hanneman. Thank you for your insight. And people, you need to support him. Buy his book. Tell as many people as you can about the work that he does. He has truly freed captives and continues to do that. In Jesus' name, thank you. See you all next time. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.